We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good friend and former Morris Brown colleague Kim Hill is down in the area. Kim was one of these activists, was active at Morris Brown in college, and now is doing the... He's giving a lot of, raising a lot of good dust down there. Kim Hill, how are you?
Doing great. Tell him I come from the Derek Bolton School of Social Justice.
He's shaking them up so much in Miami. I told him I got to fly down there and make sure they you know, everything is good. Well, we heard about this case of this young man, and now there's a few elements that's missing out of this conversation, and we're going to bring Antoinette Johnson, the mother, and Rossi Williams, the attorney, into the conversation. The minute they call the name of the high school, I said, oh, Lordy. He goes to, is it Christopher Columbus High School? Is that the name of the school?
It's Christopher Columbus High School. It is a private school. Tuition is like $35,000 per year.
Right.
Our young brother sits at the top at this school. He has a 4.0. He's unwavering. He has Paul Robeson-like qualities.
Right. Is this a predominantly African-American, predominantly white school, you know?
No, it is a predominantly, no, it's an all-white high school.
That was that is what we call a rhetorical question. Because you have to ask that, because, I'm come from the Neely Fuller, unless and until you understand racism and white supremacy, anything else you seek to understand will simply confuse you.
Exactly.
This young man was a 4.0 grade point average. Obviously, he's a bright and very gifted student. Let's bring Mom in here and lock in. Mom, how are you? This is Antoinette Johnson, and let me bring the attorney also, all three of us, to talk together. Attorney Rossi Williams, how are you?
I'm well. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. Let's go to Ms. Johnson. Ms. Johnson, tell us about your son. Acquaint our audience here in Atlanta with Luther Johnson V. Who is this young man?
Well,
and why
Luther
should we be concerned about it all the way in Atlanta?
Well, Luther is he's my second child. He is an outstanding kid, an individual. I wouldn't say a student athlete. He's an outstanding individual. He's a hardworking kid. He's never had a day of trouble. Didn't have to run up and down the road to the jail,
right,
courts, and even the principal's office. Never had issues with my son. He's received several awards throughout his lifetime. He's been on the honor roll, a honor roll, since he started school. So we never had an issue in school. Regularly attends church, just involved in everything. His favorite hobby and pastime, believe it or not, is volunteering.
Wow.
Next to reading, you know? So this speaks volume, you know, for our son.
Yeah.
So I'm just elated to say he belongs to us.
There you go. And everything I've read about him, because I always try to research it and see, well, what is this really about? Suggest that. And so, look, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to let you tell us, as his mom, how did all of this begin to develop with your son? Because you don't got him successfully all the way to his senior year, and now they're talking about suspending him for a year or some games or whatever. I don't know what the last adjudication of this was, and we'll talk to Attorney Williams about that. But tell us what's going on here, because it just does not add up based on you know, what we're just seeing on the surface. In Atlanta, we're concerned about it too, you know. And so, look, we're going to put you on hold. When we come back, we'll talk to this attorney, Mom, and to Kim Hill, activist down in the Homestead at Miami-Dade area. 404-892-2703. And we're going to tell you how you can get involved. You know, get involved. See, if we don't advocate, here's the thing that I know, right? Just from being in this thing for a long time. If this young man does not feel an avalanche of support from us, he may never tell us. But it can be the breaking point for him. Because there's nothing like when you have been unjustly, accused, when you know you're not guilty. You know, we're dealing with the Central Park Five issue now. 30 years later, these dudes still coming on. They were on our sister station yesterday, almost breaking down crying. And they 40-some-year-old men now because of what happened to them when they were 15, 16, 17, and adults did not show up the right way for them. And so we're going to talk to this family and then tell you what you can do to help. 404-892-2703 is our phone number. That gets you inside the conversation. 404-892-2703. We'll be back. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
All the activists and used to live in Atlanta a little while back, but now he's back home. Antoinette Johnson, the mother of Luther Johnson V, and Rossi Williams. Attorney Williams, at some point the family retains you. What are the issues here of equity or justice that you all are looking at for Luther Johnson V? What are the issues on the table here?
First, thank you so much for having us here. The issues revolve around the fact that, number one, as you said, LJB, Luther Johnson V, has really above a 4.0 GPA. He has letters and or scholarships from over 15 colleges across the nation, including Yale.
Wow.
And so his entire future here is at stake, and it becomes a question of, what does a kid do when he's done everything that
right.
everyone has told him to do his whole life? Because you don't get a 4.0 by being a bad kid or not being disciplined. He's done what his parents told him to do. He's done what the school has told him to do. He's done what his coaches have taught him to do. Only to get to this point, he is the only African-American player on his team.
All right, say you, that again.
You know,
now.
Ask
now, he,
about school, so let me make
right.
sure I bring that up. LJB is the only
Black
African-American
on
his lacrosse team.
Okay.
And, you know, lacrosse is not even a sport that I knew much about
right.
before I began representing him. Let me be truthful about that.
No doubt.
That.
Me, the Attorney Williams. I wear eyes on the cross shirt periodically.
Right, right. I really had to delve into it because he's a kid worth saving. So the major issues here, you know, begin with the fact that, number one, the play standing alone, and I do have the video on our website so people will be able to see it, and I'll get that information out shortly. The play standing alone was not egregious enough to levy mm-hmm. this one-year ban, because it wasn't egregious at all. Really, it was just a play of a physical contact mm-hmm. game.
But lacrosse is a very
physical contact
point.
Sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
was no malice, no ill will there. So when we went before the board, you know, we argued points. Number one, that the play in and of itself was insufficient to merit a one-year ban from all sports. And number two, that the prior sanction they upheld against him was wrongfully upheld, and they relied on that wrongfully upheld predicate to levy this one-year ban, and I'll go into more
right.
explanation. And number three, that LJB has been consistently treated differently based on race than similarly situated kids in the same game, in the same sport. So if I may, let me just expand more upon that
mm-hmm.
news reporter's report. LJB is a rising senior at Christopher Columbus. He's been playing sports, lacrosse, including football, for years. I think since he's been in about the sixth grade, he's been playing sports. He has never been disciplined in any sport prior to what happened this year. He has never been disciplined academically or in school at all, including his school did not discipline him for what happened here. So that's the backdrop of where we are, and he's the only, again, African-American player there. So the first game at issue occurred on March 4th of this year. It was against Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida, and many people will know that school
mm-hmm.
by the name of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. unfortunately, it is the school where a gunman killed tragically multiple students and staff a few years ago. So at that game, LJV was not only the only African-American player on his team, he was the only African-American player in the whole game. During that game, multiple players, and this was witnessed by parents who wrote emails to the board, multiple players from Stoneman Douglas called him the N-word repeatedly on the field during the play and made death threats against him. It got so bad that it spilled over. Now, these are the words of the parents. And remember, I told you he's the only African-American.
Right.
So these are not African-American parents
right.
who said this. That the racially charged atmosphere spilled over into the bleachers to the point where Stoneman Douglas students were arguing with the parents from Christopher Columbus who were trying to resolve this. The officials were aware. They did not intervene. So time after time, he's being called the N-word. He's being the recipient of death threats. And finally, he and one of the other players, one of the players who was calling him the N-word, engaged him physically. LJV did not throw a punch. He didn't fight the guy. He just tried to restrain him to defend himself. However, the Florida High School Athletic Association levied the first suspension or first discipline he'd ever received, which was a 6-week suspension, also known as a level 2 suspension. Now, the parents appealed it, but I was not involved at that point. They appealed pro se, represented themselves, and they did raise these racial issues to the board. Nonetheless, the board still upheld the sanction.
Mm-hmm.
Later, the parents again spoke with someone higher in the infractions committee, and what they did is they reduced the sanction from 6 weeks to 5 weeks.
Wow.
In other words, by a week. So on April 5th, LJV returned to the game. Of course, he's easily identifiable because he's the only African-American player on the team. And later in the game, he made this play. It was a less than 20-second play. There's no malice. There's no ill will. There's no fight. It's just a play of a player running and making a play just like you'd see on a football field.
Right.
But the officials called this play. And this time, they said he should be banned for the entire year, which
from
for him is
sports.
Synonymous with a life from all sports.
Because he also plays football.
Which is synonymous with a lifetime ban.
I mean,
yes,
it's
because
football
he also
is predominantly,
plays football.
It's predominant sport.
So that's when the family retained me. Initially, we appeared before the infractions committee, basically to let them know this was unjust. And what they said is, well, since we gave him a second chance, and let him play, and this happened that same game in which he returned, we feel this ban should be upheld. The issue with that is that we presented evidence from other well-seasoned lacrosse player coaches who reviewed the game and said that either no penalty should have been called on LJB, or if there was a penalty, it should have been called on multiple players because multiple players committed the same or harder hits prior to LJ's play, and the penalty should only have been 1 to 3 minutes. This includes college coaches who reviewed the game.
Wow.
So we're not talking about just his daddy or his uncle or someone
Certainly.
Who has an interest in him playing, reviewing the game. And they gave written statements, which we supplied to the board, but they still upheld it. So on June 10th, this past Monday, we went to the board meeting, and I will tell you the words they said to him were out of this world. At this meeting, the NAACP appeared on his behalf, state representatives, commissioners, so many people. His principal and his athletic director testified in his favor and in his behalf. And as we prepared for that meeting on Monday, June 10th, for the first time on that prior weekend, I think it was Saturday or Sunday, I received copies of emails from parents who had previously emailed the board way back in March before they upheld the first sanction, informing them that students from Stoneman Douglas repeatedly called LJB the N-word on the field. One parent said, I was sick to my stomach. to watch him have to go through this. And the officials knew it and wouldn't do anything about it.
All right, Attorney Wynn, we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, we just want to get to the nuts and bolts of it. What is this all? What is this really about? I mean, what is this really about? And what is this young man options? And what can we do to assist? Got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to this family and talk to his mom and just see how her son is doing. You know, what his mental state is. It had to be devastating because, you know, it'd be falsely accused again. You know, you know what I say about them now. They'd rather see a monkey with a diamond ring than to see a black man with anything. All right. We'll be back. It's News and Talk, 1380 WALK. Dr. King would always say that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. But it don't bend by itself. Hold on, Kim. I'm trying to get my technical stuff. Kim, let's go back to you, man. What from where you sit as an activist, what is this all about, really?
What is it all about? It's just about blackness. When you see, when Ava DuVernay wrote that, came up with that documentary, How They See Us, or When They See Us. This was explicit. This was a clear exhibition of that. What you saw, I mean, what we saw at that hearing was two strong black women walked up there, his mother and his attorney, and they were not genuflecting, they were not acquiescing, they were not dealing with this situation through subterfuge, they dealt with it head on. And also, you saw this young man, he was intelligent, and he conducted himself as a true statesman. He didn't bow down, but he answered every question with a smile on his face, had a great personality. They could not handle that. I have to give you a description of the state of Florida and how things operate. That hearing was held 8 hours away out of Miami-Dade into Gainesville. There were only two people down from the South and were minorities. There was a Hispanic and there was an African American. Both of them voted to reduce the charges, you know, the suspension, and allow Luther to play. You know, it was clear. So there was not a dry eye in there in Miami after this hearing was conducted. Not a dry eye. Everyone was crying and everyone was touched. Yeah. This was a reflection and basically an assault on being black.
Attorney William, real quickly, how did this even get to be charged? Who filed a complaint? What was the original complaint come? Did it come from the other side coaching staff? What did the complaint emanate from?
Right. It comes from the officials. The officials make the call, and then they, you know,
okay, so the official of on the lacrosse. The lacrosse officiants at the game actually filed the charges themselves.
Well, they levy the penalty, and then it goes up with the team, the opposing team, and it just goes up the ladder throughout the Florida High School Athletic Association, and then they determine what actual penalty they're going to
but
levy.
But I'm just trying to understand that, the procedure. So is it an automatic trigger once the officials say, well, you hit him too hard, you blocked him too hard, there's a penalty. The penalty then automatically gets reviewed in a progressive step all the way up to the Florida Athletic Commission at the state level? Okay. Somehow we lost her. Did she, huh? Okay, she'll call back. We still got Mom. Mom, tell us about your son. What is his state? Amon, what was the first thing he said to you after the first penalty he came off? What is he thinking is happening to him?
Well, my son's reaction was, which he never does after a game, is, you know, when the kids come over and talk, he says, Mom, please walk with me. I have something to tell you. And it was then at that time that he proceeded to tell me that they had called him the N-word. And I'm like, what?
Were not at the game on that day?
Yes, I am. I'm always at the game.
Okay.
Yes.
Were you aware that was going? The taunting was going on from while the game. You were not. You could not verbally hear it or see it.
No, sir. I would have gone and asked my son. I would have taken him off the field. if I would have known that was taking place there.
Right.
So I had no idea, but I did see when he was actually hit in the head and had no idea what was going on.
Now, hold on now. What you mean when it was hit in the head? What happened?
Well, after the play that was called when their team scored, in the process of trying to prevent the score, as you know the players do in lacrosse, my son and his teammate, they pushed the kid, pushing him to prevent him from scoring, which is legal. There was no penalty or anything.
Right, right. That's part of how the game's played.
Exactly. The kid that scored, he got up celebrating. We're clapping. It was a nice score. Well, one of the kids that had taunted him and called him the N-word and proceeded to say that he would, shoot and kill him and all of the other depots, that kid at that time, as my son was readjusting to turn, he lunged towards my kid's head with a stick, hitting him in the head with a stick. So it was at that time that it rocked my son back a little.
Now, is that kid in jail?
No. He was also suspended for 6 weeks. I know, right?
And that's what the progressive attorney, William, that's what the progressive discipline code called for him. You hit a kid with a stick intentionally inflicting harm to him, and you're not charged with aggravated assault. I don't know what the laws in Florida are. It may be something similar to that. And you just get to go through the progressive discipline after swinging the stick purposefully to inflict bodily harm and damage to this young man. And that's how it's done. Is Attorney Williams back on with us? Attorney Williams? Okay. We'll have a technical. There you go. Hello? All right, let's do this. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll reset it and get everybody in here. And then see what it is that we can do to help, you know.
Thanks.
We can maybe call and the commission down there and do whatever we got to do. And we also have John, who's an alum of the school, and he says sons attend the school there now. And he said he's familiar with the situation. We'll open our lines for comments. 404-892-2703. We'll be back in a moment. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WALK. The mother of Luther Johnson V, affectionately called LJV, and he is an elite athlete and an elite scholar. In the Miami, Florida, Dade County area, who look like he is, just a quick assessment, is not being treated fairly, whatever the reason is. We have community activist Kim Hill on the line, and let me get everybody back in here, and Attorney Williams, who we lost, and she's back on the line. What is this? His state of mind now? School is. I don't know if y'all out for the summer. But if he's playing football, he would be. But let me go to Attorney Rossi. Attorney Rossi, Williams Rossi, wouldn't tell. What is the legal status? Where does everything sit now? And have all appeals been exhausted? And is there anything else that can be done to restore? Where are we at? 6 games of the full year? Give us an assessment of where we at in terms of the punishment that they have levied so far.
Yes. Administratively, all appeals have been exhausted. To go back to the question you asked before I was cut off about how that process works, the official on the field makes the call. He or she has been responsible for informing the coach of that particular athlete as well as the opposing coach of the call. They cannot, argue with the coaches. But the coach of the school or the principal then has the ability to file the appeal up through the ranks of the Florida High School Athletic Association. The official also presents a report or submits a report to the association. So in LJV's case, each time his school filed the appeal for him, the first time
and
the
did you all get to review
it.
The appeal? Did y'all get to review
yes.
it, and were you satisfied
yes.
with
the
what they put
case.
In there?
Yes, in the second one we did, because in the first one, the parents represented
right,
themselves.
Right, I got you. I got
say.
You.
But in this one, yes, I did, and I worked with the school.
Okay.
Christopher Columbus
right.
has been
all
great
right.
about this.
And mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Gary, man, the dick right here for 1 second, though. In the field of education, we don't deal with kids from a punitive standpoint. Mm-hmm. We deal with them from a therapeutic standpoint, and this is where this board ran afoul. And I was extremely outraged with that.
Yeah, we got that. But look here, when we show up, the rules change. Okay, let's just let's be very clear here. And I'm trying to get us to what needs to happen. Because ultimately, you know, Ms. Johnson, this is your son. This is your son. You know, and you have to make some tough decisions.
Yes.
Could he leave there and go play with some other school? Or do these penalties follow him across wherever he might go? Because, I mean, obviously he's supported by his school, I'm assuming. Because I wanted to make sure now the other team were the only one taunting him. He hadn't had no problem with his school in and of itself at Christopher Columbus.
No. No, he hasn't.
All right. What do you see as his options here, either mom or Attorney Williams?
Well, let me just speak to the legal options.
Okay.
At this point, when we met with the board on June 10th, his status was suspended or banned for a year from all sports.
Okay.
When we concluded that meeting, the modification was he is banned until the 10th week of lacrosse from playing any sport. So that means he cannot play any football game. His team went to the state championship last year. It means he can't play any lacrosse until the 10th week of lacrosse.
And how many weeks is lacrosse
in the season?
How many weeks are in the lacrosse season?
Generally about 18 weeks. So he gets to play about
half
of the season.
And he misses all of the football season.
Yes.
And was football his first? Is he lettered in football? Is he receiving scholarships? Which one is his predominant sports, Mom, football or lacrosse? Where is he getting offers
football
from?
Football is his first sport. He picked up lacrosse in sixth grade. Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, he's just banned from his senior year of football.
Yes, sir.
That
exactly.
makes no sense at all. That makes no sense.
And let me say he has letters of interest and or scholarships from colleges in both sports. Football and lacrosse.
All right, let's go to John. We have John on the line. He said he attended. He's in Lombard the school, and his son's attended. John, how are you?
All right, and you?
Good. Welcome to the conversation. What do you make of this? You're an alum, and you got a son there now. What do you make of this?
I got a son there. I think the kid is getting hosed.
And speak a little louder. You need to either get. I don't know if you're on a speakerphone or something.
Earpiece. Can you hear me better?
Yeah, a lot better now. Now, what did you say?
I think poor Luther is getting the short end of the stick here. It's definitely racial profiling at its worst by the Florida Athletic Association. I do take a little offense at something that the first person that was talking said that this is, you know, a $35,000 a year school. It's actually more like $11,000. Which is still a lot of money, but it's a middle class family. And like the mother said and the lawyer said, the alumni are behind Luther, the school is behind Luther, and hopefully this all gets, you know, fixed quickly. If not, I'm sure Luther's going to end up going to Yale and making the school proud and his parents proud.
Yeah.
He will get there.
No doubt. Thank you, John. Rossi, Attorney Williams, the appeals have been exhausted. Now, Mom got to make a real decision now. Mom, what do you do? What do you do? What can we help you do at this point?
Well, if I can, before she answers, let me say the administrative appeals have been exhausted.
Now, you're going to sue.
The next legal recourse would be you'd have to file a lawsuit and ask for a preliminary injunction. However, one of the things that we're trying to make happen right now is to force the board to move to reconsider its action, because there were board members who were supportive of LJV, and that's where we're wanting to get the public involved, as well as we've had politicians reach out, so many people that we're reaching out, and we're going to put the board in a position where it has to reconsider
its
decision.
And
that's the goal.
Tell us a little bit about this board. Who constitutes this board? How are they selected or elected to serve on the board? And
there are about 10 or 15 people sitting there on the board. As someone mentioned earlier, I think Mr. Hill, there's one African-American and there was one Hispanic. They're generally educators and administrators. And what was interesting is that more than half of them admitted at the meeting that they knew nothing about lacrosse. They said it on record. We don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, my position was then neither did I. So when we bring to you these statements and evaluations of well-seasoned coaches who do know it and are not interested, you know, they have no bias toward LJV, then you should listen to that.
Yeah.
And their response was, well, our experts, which is their staff, reviewed it and agreed to uphold the ban.
Right.
So there's an issue there. You know, you want students to go before this board and know that the decisions will be without bias and that they will receive fair due process, regardless of whether it's LJV or anyone else's kid. What you're saying is deal with them as children. This is not the NFL.
Well, here's the thing. We're in a very short time frame because obviously football season and Tua Day is about to start during the summer. I don't know what the time frame is. Y'all may be on a little bit different schedule than Georgia. But one other thing, when that process gets moving, it's hard to interrupt it unless you, you know, go into court, as you said, file an injunction. And is that anticipated at this point? I guess is recourse. So that's one strategy. Now, the strategy, who is the chair of this board and where can people put some pressure here? Because we got a lot of telephones from Atlanta. People listen to this show all over the country now. Okay, so look, I'm so hot. I may jump in my car and just start driving toward that direction and give me the address of where the board office is. Because this just don't make any sense, right? We ask young people to go to school, get your lesson, do good, be involved in the community. This young man has done everything that you would ask a young man to do.
Yes.
And this time of year, two things always, I always have to, because I get short-circuited very easily. When I see, like, our children who are sent to the valedictorian at their class, some kid kicked out of he's a valedictorian, wears a kente cloth around his neck, and they escort him out of there, you know. And tell him he cannot give the message. Not only can he not get a message now, they put him out of his own graduation. I'm just like, foolishness like that is just, I can't, as a real black man in America, it just ain't nothing. I'm not able to deal with it very well. And so, Ms. Johnson, y'all got some decisions to make now. If his name, last name was Luther Bozeman the Fifth, hell, we'd be out of there. All right, and look, we'd have been none left there.
I've seen
the whole place, I got to get, but it's not, so I ain't been trying to tell you what to do. Look, we got to take a break. When we come back, if y'all got some numbers or some people we can call tell us how we can support, tell us where this young man at, whatever social media, so we can send him some words of encouragement. I'll talk about that a little bit later. However we can help make him understand that, unfortunately, sometimes time picks you to be the person who had to take a stand. You know, ain't nothing you did wrong, but this may be just your season to take a stand so that some other young brother who will end up at this wonderful sound like school that connected with a bunch of other ones that ain't so wonderful in this process, that maybe somebody coming behind you will be the beneficiary of your mother's and your father's and his attorney willingness to say it's just not going to go down like that this time, not with our son and not with our client. And so we got to take a break. When we come back, you'll tell us what we need to do in quick order, and we'll start doing it. 404-892-2703 gets you inside the conversation. We'll be back with more of Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. When they are right or been falsely accused, or it seems like something about this, you know how you can just say, when I'm reading, I said, something about this ain't right. This just don't even sound right. Something is not right here. Let's go back and to our conversation. Community activist Kim Hills on the phone, and attorney Rossi Williams, and mom Antoinette Johnson, the mother of Luther Johnson. Yes, sir.
When we look at Luther, we're looking at the African American story. You see, Homestead was a community south of Miami that was an agriculture community. Our parents came, our grandparents came down there. They did all the labor as far as in the fields and everything. Luther's grandmother was one of those women, but she advanced herself to the point where her son and her daughter graduated from Bethune-Cookman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After that, Luther is sitting up at one of the most prestigious high schools in Miami-Dade County. Now, this is what you call black progress. What's wrong with black progress in the eyes of the rest of America? Of America, you surely they don't want to see that. So this is a microcosm of our struggle, and we as African Americans cannot afford to turn a blind eye to this situation.
I got to ask Mom, is Luther prepared to miss an entire football season and more than half of the lacrosse season? Is he mentally and physically prepared to do that? Has it set in that that is a possibility?
No. My kid will tell you, he's going to strive, and he knows that with God, everything is going to work itself out. But he works daily. He continues to work daily, training and practicing and even teaching others. Even during his first suspension, my son, he's out there every day practice. You would think he was, you know, a part of the team, which he considers himself. But my son, during games, he was there, even though he physically had to sit in the stands as a spectator. Parents and coaches and even scouts approaching him, asking him, why aren't you playing? You know, it's hard for a parent. It hurt me truly to my soul to see my son out there collecting equipment and picking up balls just so that he can show his teammates that he's a team player. So he doesn't stop. He continues on. He gets out there and he trains the defense, how to play defense. And this is all during his suspension. He's there every day. No one would believe that he wasn't a part of the team because of the suspension.
He was suspended at that game. How many games did he miss out of this last season?
He missed a total of 13 games.
Wow. He missed the majority of the season then.
Exactly. And which included,
but he had already played football. That's lacrosse. He had already completed his football season for 2018 or 2019.
Yes, he did. He completed the football season, but he missed the most important game recently, which was the spring football game, which carried on into the suspension.
All right. Attorney Williams, what can we do? What can our listening audience, what can I do? What can we do to be of assistance here? Tell us, give us the instructions.
There are three main things that everyone can do. I'm going to tell you them and then tell you that it's listed on our website so that people, for your convenience.
Yeah, and give us that. Go ahead and give us that now. Give us the website and any social media where people can learn more. They can be given instruction on what to do, and then you can tell us verbally.
Okay. Our law office website is called rossiwilliams.com. That's my name, and I'll spell it. It's C-A-L-L, call. Rossi is spelled R-A-W-S-I, Williams.com. Call RossiWilliams.com. Again, Rossi is Romeo Alpha Whiskey Sierra Igloo, Williams.com.
Okay. So we can go there and see the instruction. Now tell us what the instructions are. So old school grandmama who ain't got all that kind of fancy hookup, if she can just make a phone call, who do we need to be talking to?
Okay, there are three things we want you to do. The first thing is to share this on social media because, you know, we have strength in numbers. So everyone can go to social media, to Facebook. There is a Rossi Williams Law Group page. The story is there, and you can share it on social media. And we're asking you to share it with at least 10 people today. Go in and share it and tag at least 10 people and ask them to tag at least 10 more people so that we can make this story go viral. So the first thing is to share it.
Okay.
The second thing that you can do is to sign his petition on change.org. And again, we have links for all of this on our website. But we have a petition. In less than 48 hours, almost 5,000 people had signed it.
Wow.
And we presented those numbers to the board. And then the final thing is to call. We want you to call the Florida High School Athletic Association. The executive director who made this decision for the ban is George Tomlin. I will spell his last name, T-O-M-Y-N. Tangle, Oscar Mike Yankee November.
Okay, and what's his first name?
George,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
And the number is 352-372-9551, extension 110. And I'll repeat it if that's okay.
Please do.
His name is George Tomlin, T as in Tom, O-M-Y-N. The number is 352-372-9551, extension 110.
All right, and our call to him should be what exactly? We want him to reverse this decision or what? What do we ask?
We want him to do two things. We want him to reinstate LJV to play football and no more than a 1 to 3 minute lacrosse penalty, because that's what the seasoned lacrosse coaches said should have been the maximum penalty.
Yeah.
And the second thing is that we want them to investigate the racist atmosphere and the death threats that were made against him.
Have you all formally presented that? Do they have jurisdiction over that issue?
Yes, because as the regulatory body created by the Florida legislature, they regulate all student athletes in any school.
Now, obviously, you all have provided them with that information.
Correct.
Have they
Even
provided
at the board
you
meeting,
any?
They had statements.
I got you now. But have they provided you back an answer to it?
Oh, do you really want to hear the answer they gave us?
Hold on. We got to take a break. Because, you know, this answer about tell you everything you want to know. Now, we have raised the issue, and it has been sent to you by email by other parents that there was such a racially toxic environment there that the young man felt unsafe. Now, you're going to give him his punishment based on what you said his infraction was, but you're not going to suggest that there should have been some other student punished or something happened of the school sanction itself, because Stillman Douglas obviously agreed with what was being said by their students, because they didn't try to stop it. If it spilled all over into the stand, then they knew about it. And so no sanction for them. We'll hear that on the other side of the break. Look, don't go into places. Too much truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WALK. What I think his dad said, look here, if this. The good thing about being athletic and having a brain and brawn, that if either one of them fail, you can fall back on the other one. So we're not even worried whether this young man is going to be in a great school of his choice based on his abilities. You know, he ain't doing like Felicity Huffman there, paying folks off and putting their children in there because they ain't got no ability. They just got money. And so he's not doing that. He didn't jump the line like the Chinese people. Y'all say they're all smart. They done found out they done paid $6 million to send their kid to school. This young man's future sound like it's going to be just fine, but we need some advocates and some activists, and we need to be activated to send a message to him that, you know, well, we don't think you did nothing wrong here. We think there's something else at play. At least I do. Now, if you think he did a great call, then you just keep on doing whatever you do. The rest of us going to be trying to call these folks and run them down, do whatever we can do. Attorney Williams, apparently the hearing was held in Gainesville, Florida,
yes.
8-hour drive from where you all are down in the Miami area or whatever the time frame. And that's strategic, too, because, I like to carry – very sophisticated dude, a lot of degrees, but I like to carry a picket sign every now and then just to go out in front of the athletic commission office. And so where are their office located at?
I was going to say their office is located in Gainesville, and the hearing was held in Gainesville. However, it was also via closed circuit television for the school. So although LJV, his mom, and I were in Gainesville with the board, his principal, the school, Mr. McKeon, and so many others were able to testify as well.
How far is that from Gainesville from Miami? For those of us,
it was about a 5-hour drive.
Drive. Okay. And but tell us what we can do, because I'll talk Kim. We'll talk backline, because the Gainesville chapter, NAACP, and somebody else, we need to be standing out front of their offices and letting them know that, you know, as a whole, you know, we just need to mobilize and do some things, because I think if you let time go by on this, they're going to hope that somebody else get clipped and they can move this on and say, look, we treated him the same way or whatever. But, Attorney Williams, what can we do? Give us some numbers. And you gave us a number again, but give it to us one more time, because we want people to start calling again, before we get interrupted and before we had to go to break and before I let you all go. Give us the phone number one more time that we need to call. So for people who may be
I'll give you the numbers, and may I please give you the answer the board gave us when we raised.
Okay,
the answer, and I will say that this was from the African-American male on the board who said this, the only African-American male. Do not come in here talking to us about the N-word. Don't come in here, and this is on record, because there was a court reporter there.
Jesus, be offense. Jesus. The man said, what did he say?
In front of the entire board, on record.
Oh, my God.
Don't come in here talking to us about the N-word.
Right.
Don't come in here telling us something about it. We don't want to hear it. Back in the, I think he said 60s or whenever, when he was younger.
Now, what is
and
his
he played,
name? What is the, do we have his name?
Uncle Ruckus.
Okay, all right.
I don't want to say that.
We're going to let the attorney. Attorney, you be sophisticated, because I'm like, you know, we're going to let you be. Me and Kim will do the other part. It's always one.
Wait,
it's always
please,
one.
Please
it's
let
always
me,
one.
Let me finish telling you.
Okay.
I know.
Don't come in here. You know, they got the only black man up there, and he gives you this admonishment.
And this, yes, sir. Back when I played, you know, we were called the N-word and things like that, and then you fight for it. But now we don't want to hear anything about that. I'm sure that he's been called much worse, that he's heard this word in the hallways.
Okay.
And he just got to learn how to play through it.
All right, Ms. Johnson, you were at the hearing, and you standing. How old is your son, Ms. Johnson?
How old is he?
Yeah, how old is he?
He's 17.
17. You standing your 17-year-old son. You bring him into a hearing. 5 hours from his home, he walks in, see a brother sitting across the table. Because I know he done had some science classes, so he understand what observation is. He looks, scanned the room, says, oh, that good brother. And the guy opens up and tells you, do not come in here. I could hear him. Do not come in here talking about race. It has nothing to do with race. What did you think as a parent when you get an admonition like that because that's a major element of what happened to your son.
Of course. My son's body language said it all. My son has never been spoken to in that manner. And to see the look and the way that his body was like,
certainly.
It just slumped pretty much.
Yep.
Just hearing that.
Yep. Yep.
You find strength. Yeah. My husband wasn't there at the time
because
he's holding, you know, certainly. Two jobs.
Certainly, certainly.
You find strength knowing that at least I have someone that looks similar to me.
Yeah.
That may be able to, you know, sympathize with what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And to let that be the first thing
out of his mouth. Okay. Now, Ms. John, what is your son? Is your son around now?
Yes, he's here.
Is he listening?
Yes, he's right here.
Okay. Because before he leave, I have a message for him. Really, I really do. I just want to encourage him. Attorney Williams, again, let me first. Kim, thank you for putting it all together.
We're gonna
keep monitoring this, man, because it bothers me. I'm bothered on so many levels now. I'm agitated. You know, I'm agitated because I've been an advocate for young black men for a long time. And I've been extremely blessed because other people saw something in me when I didn't see value in myself and pushed me. And led me to do a boy from south side of Atlanta to be on the city council in Atlanta, travel the world over, speak to audience. And it was only because I had encouragement, not only from my own parents, but I also was an activist. I came out and took over, ain't going to go through all that litany of my college days of being a rebel. But even within that, it was to make the institution stronger. And clearly, this young man has been done a grave injustice. And I just want to encourage him to keep fighting. Attorney Williams, give us the phone number that we need to call, reinstate LJV. And the George Tumlin is his name. And to make sure we got the number right, we need to call 352-372-9551, extension 110. Is that it?
That is it. As well, extension 240, which is Mr. Craig Damon. He's over compliance.
Okay. All right. And that's something. Well, thank you all for, sharing with us. Any closing remarks, Kim Hill?
Well, Derek, man, I want to thank you. We turned this over to the greatest communicator. I am the mayor of the ghetto. However, you are the president of the ghetto. So we're so thankful to be able to have a voice like you in America to speak out for African Americans. Thank you so much, my brother.
Man, look here, I don't know how to do nothing but fight. All my life I had to fight. And you get good at it because this is so wrong. Ms. Johnson, thank you for sharing your son's story.
Thank you.
And thank you for being the kind of mother that ain't going to just sit it out and say, well, you know, I guess it's just all right then. We just have to go along with it.
No, Lord.
And Attorney Williams, I can already tell you the kind of sister that is a soldier who happens to use the law as her craft and keep fighting for justice for our people, because at the end of the day, we all we got, but we all that we really need. Now, Ms. John, where's LVJ? Turn the music down. Can you put your son on the phone?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hello.
LJV, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir.
You've been listening?
Yes, sir.
And all the way in Atlanta, is a long way from Atlanta to Miami. But I wanted you to know, young man, that we're so proud of you. We're proud because you have done the things the right way. You've applied yourself. You studied hard. Clearly, you have made sacrifices. Your mother and your father, they love you. You got an attorney that'll fight for you. You got a community that's advocating for you. I just don't want you to get despondent. I don't want you to get down. Now, every now and then, we are selected by something greater than us to be assigned to somebody coming behind you. Who will walk in a greater freedom because you made the sacrifice. Don't let these people make you think you have done anything wrong. And I believe, just like your mama and your attorney, that you're going to be playing lacrosse, you're going to be playing football, and I ain't talking about a year from now, I'm talking about now. We're going to fight for you. Your story done made it all the way up here. And just stay humble, stay prayerful, and keep training. Because this is just temporary. This too gonna pass, and we're gonna keep following you, man. And we're grateful for you. All right.
Yes, thank you, sir.
All right, stay encouraged.
Thank you for having me,
man. Look here, we're gonna call back and check with you. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, family. Thank you all so much. What a story. What a story. All right, we'll talk to you all a little bit later on.
Mr. Bozeman, if I can give one more number.
Thank you, President of the Ghetto.
All right, give us one more number. Don't give a two-minute attorney now. Call 2 minutes.
Right.
They ain't going to call none of them. We're going to call let's work on George for a while, okay?
Right. Let me give one more.
Okay.
And what I say to people is call like you would want people to call if it was your child.
Yeah.
The Florida governor is Ron DeSantis. Remember, this association is created by the legislative body.
Right.
So we want them to call the governor as well.
Okay.
His number is 850-715-9337.
Thank you. That's a good one. Again, the Governor Ron DeSantis, 850-717-9337.
Yes, sir.
We're about to blow them up like nitro. Bring the phones. Thank you all so much. We'll be in touch with you. I'll check with you in a couple of days, see if there's any progress on this. Then call me. All right? Call me. Y'all be in touch with me.
We will do.
All right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much. 448-922-2703 is our phone number. What a story. I mean, you were just willing to ruin the kid's life. Just for...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.